For our many visitors this morning, we are in the midst of considering the Lord's Prayer, and we're up to the fourth petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." We turn in Holy Scripture first of all this morning to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers 21, we read the first 9 verses of this chapter. "And when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah." That is, in the Hebrew language, utter destruction. "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." So far we read from that passage. We turn now to Matthew chapter 6. In this chapter is found the instruction given by Jesus, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." But I call your attention this morning to verses 19 through 34. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We are considering Matthew 6, verse 11 this morning. Give us this day our daily bread. We are given an exposition of that text in our Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 50, question and answer 125. Which is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, following the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer, Christ leads us into another avenue of our prayer to our Heavenly Father. Here we begin our petitions for our needs as we walk on this earth in these physical, corruptible bodies. Always we need to remember, though, that this second section is strictly subordinate to the first. First, we are to seek the glory of God's name, the coming of his kingdom, the accomplishment of his will, and therefore our submission in obedience to his will. Then we may pray for our daily bread. But notice, when this petition is subordinate to the previous three, then we pray for our daily bread, not simply to eat, still less to satisfy our carnal desires to have excess. We pray this petition in order strictly to serve our Lord in the hallowing of his name, the seeking of his kingdom, and obedience to his will. Although this petition, as the previous three, is so difficult to pray because it is so deeply spiritual, yet we must not consider the spiritual nature of this petition to be found in its object. It's not a reference to spiritual bread. Some would spiritualize this petition and point to Jesus, for example, as the bread of life, and say that we are to pray for spiritual bread here. But the fact is, that's a misunderstanding of the true nature of this prayer. Christ would have us pray with respect to every aspect of our lives. And that's evident also in the passage that we read following Jesus' instruction on how to pray. We have to remember that Jesus did not give this prayer for his saints already in heaven. He gave this prayer for us who are still on this earth. And he did so in the perfect consciousness of all our needs, every one. Our faithful Father shows gracious consideration toward our weakness in giving us the physical things of this life as servants to help us on our sojourn toward heaven. He takes our weaknesses into account because he knows that we are flesh and he knows that we are often caught up with the many cares and anxieties of this earthly life. Christ merited for us an opening to the throne of grace, an opening to Jesus Christ for us and his whole church, that we may approach that throne also with respect to the concerns that we have in our daily life. He would not have us put our confidence in men. He would have us forsake the confidence we have placed in men and to confide only in him who alone is the giver of every good and perfect gift and who withholds no good thing from them that walk uprightly, not even in death. If there's any petition, however, that requires a high spiritual state, it is this one. We've seen the same with the other petitions. But because we are so earthly, this petition requires a high spiritual state. Bread is a need. Without bread, we cannot live. Without bread, we cannot serve God. But for us to pray for our daily bread, that's not easy, especially in the prosperity in which we live. It requires not only that we believe that God is and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, but it requires that our request of God be strictly limited and that we be content in whatever state we are, as Paul writes in Philippians 4, verse 11. And it's exactly because the Lord knows that we do not live on this high spiritual level that he instructs us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. I call your attention to this fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, a prayer for our daily bread. We have here a simple petition, a humble petition, and a communal petition, that is, a petition that belongs to the whole community of believers. It's a prayer for our daily bread. This petition is so simple, it's very easy to teach our children to pray it. And yet, in everyday life, you and I invariably fail to see the perfection of its simplicity. The Lord Jesus taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." No more simply could our needs be stated than with the word bread. Now, of course, man cannot live by bread alone. Bread here is a figurative term which signifies the physical necessities of this life. That's not an uncommon use of the term of that term in Scripture. You remember that the Lord God used the term in that way already in Paradise the First, immediately after the fall, when he said to Adam, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground." Bread is one of those expressions, one of those terms in which a part is given for the whole. And so the instructor in the catechism follows the interpretation of the Bible when he says that bread refers to all things necessary for the body. We need more than bread. A baby can't live on bread. A baby needs milk. We also need drink. We need clothing and shelter and electricity or natural gas or some form of heat, some form of fuel to keep us warm. We need a certain amount of money for sustenance. All those things are covered by this simple term bread. But the simplicity of the term bread expresses something specific. When Jesus said, "Give us this day our daily bread," he could have said, "Pray, give us all the necessities of life." But he doesn't. He says, "Give us this day our daily bread." And thereby, he teaches us to ask for the bare necessities of life. He doesn't teach us to ask for pie or some other dessert. He doesn't teach us to ask for prosperity and luxury. Rather, he confirms the prayer of Solomon in Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food convenient for me," that is, the food that I need, "lest I be full and deny thee and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." We need this simple instruction, beloved, because it's easy for us to fall into the error of the wicked and to lust for prosperity. We are materially prosperous. In this day, even the poor are prosperous when it comes to having more than the bare necessities of life. But we are so prosperous that we can eat until we are full and then feel sorry for ourselves that our stomachs aren't big enough to eat more. We forget that we must eat in order to live. We don't live in order to eat. The simplicity of life is expressed in bread, exclusive of all gluttony, which is sin. But that's true with more than just the food we eat. We need clothing too. We don't need the most expensive dresses. We don't need $1,000 furs. The apostle says that "I will that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array." Same holds true for the men. Our need for suits is not for designer suits that are twice the price of something comparable. We need a place for shelter. Whether a house or an apartment, we don't need million-dollar mansions. We have to have some furnishings in the home. But we don't need more than a tiny portion of what we have. This petition for bread is a petition characterized by simplicity. And that's emphasized even more by the fact that we are taught to pray for our daily bread. Take no thought for the morrow, Jesus said. I must be able to say, every step of my life has been planned by my Heavenly Father. His name is to be hallowed. His kingdom is coming. And toward that purpose, He has determined my place in this creation, as well as my needs and how those needs will be supplied. So He teaches me to pray for my daily bread, acknowledging Him as God by calling upon Him for my needs for this particular day. Contentment is expressed in this simple petition. Again, such a prayer presupposes a strong spiritual life, marked by obedience to the exhortation that we find in 1 Timothy 6, verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Now let's apply that very specifically, also calling attention to the first passage that we read this morning, Numbers chapter 21. Suppose that we pray, give us this day our daily bread, and the Lord were to provide that request literally. Suppose He would take away everything from us that is not a necessity of life and stack all those things in a pile and destroy it with fire and would give us only bread for today. Suppose He would take away from us all our nice furniture and our electronics and our appliances and our paintings and carpeting, our savings accounts and our stocks and bonds and insurance policies, and would empty our cupboards and pantries and refrigerators and freezers, so that at the end of the day, even the bread for tomorrow would be gone. Would you and I come to the worship service this evening and thank God for the good that He's given us? We so easily complain, don't we, boys and girls? Do we so easily complain about the varieties of food on the table? We can even complain about the brands of food our dear wives and mothers buy and prepare for us. Would we be so exuberant in our thanks to God should He take away from us everything but food for today? If you and I have a spiritual bone in our bodies, then we don't have a whole lot of difficulty understanding Israel's behavior in the wilderness, do we? Sometimes we like to overlook the fact that that instruction is recorded for our sakes. The Apostle Paul states that explicitly in 1 Corinthians 10. All these things are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. The occasion of that which we read in Numbers 21 is the severe trial by which the Lord tried the children of Israel. They had been in the wilderness now for many years. And now that they were about to approach the land of Canaan, they were forced back into the wilderness. Another detour. Add to this the fact that apparently at this time the way was especially difficult. In verse 4 of that chapter, we read that the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. They had to endure the most severe hardships traveling through that wilderness. And they had no variety of food. They didn't even have bread. They were dependent upon the manna sent from heaven every day. They didn't even have water. They were completely dependent upon the rock that followed them, which rock, Scripture tells us, was Christ. And they failed to stand in that severe trial. Their soul was much discouraged. Literally, we read that their souls fell short. And consequently, they didn't pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Nor did they give any other expression of contentment. They began to murmur and to complain and to rebel. And not only did they complain that there was no bread or water, but they expressed utter contempt for the manna. "Our soul loatheth this light bread." Even though that manna was tasty, the Bible tells us, and provided every nutrient necessary for the body. And the Lord chastised them by sending serpents to bite them. And those serpents filled them with poison. And many of them died. But some of God's people cried out in repentance. And the Lord told Moses to set up that brazen serpent. And when the people would look upon that brazen serpent, they would be healed. Boys and girls, you remember what that brazen serpent represented? According to John 3, verses 14 and 15, that brass serpent was typical of the lifting up of Jesus on the cross. That was a picture. Well, the curse also of your complaining and mine has been lifted up by Christ, to whom we belong. Thank God for that. And that Son of Man held before us in the preaching of the gospel is the bright and glorious source of life for his people. In thankfulness for that salvation, therefore, hear his words: "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, give us this day our daily bread." That does not mean that we are forbidden any luxuries. That doesn't mean that we have to pitch out the back door everything that we don't strictly need. We don't need to wallow in some false philosophy of asceticism or turn into a sect of pious hermits. We may have luxury provided that the Lord gives it to us in our legitimate labors, and we don't obtain it by stealing or cheating or by violating the 8th or 10th commandments or by using our credit cards when we don't even have the money to pay it off at the end of the month. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." So we may have luxury, provided that our brother's not running to the state welfare agency to put bread on his table, provided that our widows are cared for properly, and we are remembering our position as stewards in God's house. But in connection with the prayer for our daily bread, let's understand that luxury and abundance of earthly goods is extremely dangerous to our spiritual welfare. We have to understand that. The wise man understood that when he wrote, "Give me neither poverty nor riches." Jesus Christ set forth that truth when he told his disciples, "It's easier for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle, for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, rather, than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And the Apostle Paul warns Timothy of the devastation wrought not by money itself, but by the love of money, covetousness. And certainly we can see, at least in a small way, that the influence of prosperity in our lifetimes has not been entirely for the spiritual benefit of the church institute. When God gives us luxury, we may enjoy it. After all, he's the one who not only has given bread, but he has given oil and he has given wine. But should you and I not give to the causes of God's church and kingdom because we're too busy saving for our next buy or paying off our loans or saving for our next big vacation, then we are not being faithful stewards. And we can't pray this prayer either. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then you can pray, 'Give us this day our daily bread.'" The second thing we notice concerning this fourth petition is that this prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," is an expression of humility. It's an acknowledgement of our complete dependence upon God. As God feeds the sparrows and clothes the lilies of the field, so also he will care for you, said Jesus. Do we believe those words of Jesus? If we would characterize this fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, according to the instruction of our Heidelberg Catechism, we have to refer to it as a humble petition. Listen again. "Give us this day our daily bread." That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. We are totally dependent upon God. This fourth commandment throws all idolatry of materialism out the window. God is Lord of hosts. His kingdom rules over all. In whatever means and by whatever labors we obtain our daily bread, when we pray this prayer, we boast not in self, nor in our own abilities and strength and intelligence, or in men and other creatures, but in the sovereign God of hosts, Jehovah. Perhaps we are inclined to speak out against this simple petition, which is characterized by such humility. Because after all, don't we live in a much more complex world? Perhaps this is fine for the farmer who lives off his own land. Maybe it was a nice prayer for the Israelites as they were in the desert, receiving manna directly from heaven. But society is so much more complicated today. You know, that's a frequent argument with respect to many aspects of life. Family life is so much more complicated today. We need more than the scriptures. Marriage is so much more complicated today. We need more than the Bible to tell us how to live in marriage. Give us this day our daily. Is this realistic? You know, we live in a day when there's so much between us and our food. It's not just us and the farmer. Between us and the farmer are cooperatives and unions and big corporations and exchanges and supermarkets, along with the influence of government, all which drive the prices up and stand between us and that bread. So is this prayer really fitting for our day and age? Absolutely it is. Upon whom are we dependent? Upon God who rules all things. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. So what shall we do? Shall we complain, worry about all that intervention between us and the farmer? Shall we act as though our daily bread depends upon us? Shall we pray to the president and to the Congress, give us our bread? That's what many do. Or shall we with heart and mind look to our Creator, the Almighty, all-knowing sustainer of all? Because we know He's good to us who love Him, who are the called according to His purpose. We have to remember we deserve nothing from Him. Yes, it's our calling to labor. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat thy bread. But the fact remains, should you and I labor 24 hours a day, we still have not earned one crumb of bread from God. I can't buy it from Him. I don't earn it. He will give it to me as freely as he gives the refreshing rain and the warmth and light of the sun to his created order, to the plant world. And when I live in the consciousness that he gives me all things for his name's sake, and because he has loved me in Christ Jesus, my Lord, then it's my desire to love him and to honor him as the one who gives it to me. And therefore, this petition applies to us and is to be used by us even when our tables are full of food. So that we don't simply sit down and eat as though our nourishment only depends on how effectively our hand shovels the food to our mouths, but in humble dependence upon God, whether in our own homes or at a friend's or in a restaurant, we still ask, Lord, give it to me for my nourishment and to thy glory. Our humble petition also comes to expression in this prayer as a childlike trust, a humble confidence. When we pray according to the instruction of Jesus, give us this day our daily bread, we are expressing our confidence in our faithful Father against the background of our human frailty. I dare say we're seldom conscious of this element in this petition. We ought to be reminded of the brevity of our earthly existence. We read in Proverbs 27, verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That's all the more reason to place our confidence in our Heavenly Father. You and I are unable of ourselves to continue in health for 24 hours. But when we pray this prayer, as only the one in Christ can pray it, we say, Lord, knowing that thou art tomorrow, thou art our God, we place our confidence in thee. Thou art the fountain of all good. And that means when we pray this petition for our daily bread, we pray this with spiritual understanding, confessing we are content in the confidence that God will give us everything we need. That's an amazing confession, isn't it? That's not our natural confession, is it? That only comes by the Spirit of Christ in us. Because this is to say, Father, if my refrigerators and cupboards are empty tonight, I will lay me down in sleep, knowing thou wilt provide. It may well be that sometimes we have to go hungry. We may well face that in the future. If I didn't have confidence in the faithfulness of our God, I would certainly face that possibility in terror. With respect to our children and grandchildren, who have never known what it means to go hungry or even to have less than excess. When we pray for our daily bread, we have to remember that this prayer is inseparable from the three petitions that precede it. And then it means if it's not in conflict with the hallowing of thy name and the coming of thy kingdom or the realization of thy will, give us this day our daily bread. if it pleases God to hallow his name and bring about his kingdom and realize his will by bringing famine through the earth, we might well go hungry for a while. It's possible. Children of Israel did at different times. The Apostle Paul speaks to the church in Corinth about his own experience of being in hunger and thirst, in cold and nakedness. He experienced that. We never have we? Scripture warns us of the time when God's people will not be able to buy nor sell shortly before Christ's return. But I pray this prayer knowing that even if it is God's will and purpose to give me hunger, he still will provide, even though it be again from manna from heaven, or by sending a raven, a scavenger bird, to feed me as he did Elijah. Is this your confidence when you pray this petition? This is the confidence only of those who know that God is our God for Jesus' sake. Even more specifically, for me to pray this prayer means that I'm also walking in the Lord's way. That also has several implications, of which I mentioned just a couple. For one thing, it means that we must not be wasteful. We live in a society and in an age when we have become unbelievably wasteful. We can't pray this prayer to God and be wasteful. If the Lord has given us bread for today and tomorrow, which he has certainly done most of our lives, and we throw away the bread for tomorrow, we can't faithfully pray, give us this day our daily bread. He will say to us, I gave you yesterday your bread for today. You threw it away. Some of the Israelites did that. God provided that manna 6 days, so that on the sixth day they had to lay up in store for the Sabbath. Some didn't want to do all that extra work on the sixth day. They went out and gathered on the Sabbath day. The manna was rotten. If we don't walk in the way of the Lord with respect to our bread, we can't pray for it either. If we men are slothful, lazy, and we neglect our calling to labor for our daily bread, we mock God by sending in this petition. If we neglect to provide for the needs of our brothers and sisters in the faith and refuse to provide a portion of what God gives us for the needs of his kingdom and church in this world, then we would be hypocrites to pray this. If we attempt to gain our daily bread our own way, apart from the will of God, such as by gambling, the Lord will hear this petition only in his wrath. Now, how many of us, in such humble obedience and childlike trust, with perfect contentment, can say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. You see how deeply spiritual is this prayer? How much this requires of us? And therefore, there's a reason the Lord gives us this prayer communally. This prayer is limited to the community of believers, saved in Jesus Christ. When the Lord teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, that's not instruction that we pray this with respect to every man, woman, and child. This isn't a prayer to alleviate world hunger, as pious as the suggestion may seem to undiscerning ears. For one thing, there aren't many that are capable of praying this petition. But in the second place, if the ungodly understood what this petition really means, they wouldn't be pleased with you if they knew you were praying it for them. The natural man isn't satisfied with daily bread, as you and I well know from the struggles with our own sinful flesh. Whether rich or poor, all want abundance. Nobody's satisfied with daily bread. There is no contentment apart from Jesus Christ and life in Him. But this petition also teaches us that God would have us conscious of spiritual fellowship that exists in Him. We need to understand that from a very practical perspective. Jesus didn't teach us to pray, "Give me." He taught us to pray, "Give us." We have to live in the consciousness of the needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank God for the evidence in our congregation that we do understand that. I thank God for the evidence of giving in our congregation. But we have to be reminded of that, don't we? We have to teach our children that. We can't pray this petition while saying to the brother in need, "Go find something for yourself." And then there's also this: should you and I find ourselves in that position where we are materially needy, even hungry, we also have to learn to pray this petition from that high spiritual plane, which is necessary if we are to pray it aright. There are some who would rather die of starvation than eat of Christ. There are some who will run to the state welfare agencies if they can avoid eating bread provided by Christ. There are those who would sell their soul to the devil to receive shelter rather than receiving the mercies of Christ from the hand of his deacons. And whether those be actions of spiritual ignorance or of the stubbornness of a hard heart, the fact remains, when that's the case, we cannot pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." The idea that it's a shame to receive the mercies of Christ from the deacons, that has to be washed out of our minds. For those who are indeed needy, to live from the deacons is to live from the hand of Christ. And so he answers the prayer of his church, give us this day our daily bread. This is a petition prayed only within the community of believers and in the fellowship of the body of Christ. Fellowship, brotherly love, humble dependence and confidence all enter into the praying of this petition. Happy is the people whose God is Jehovah and who live in the consciousness of their dependence upon him. That confidence and that consciousness is often far from us, we confess. And so we ask, Jesus, teach us to pray. But we've learned enough to know how great is our God, and greatly to be praised. He has redeemed us from the destruction of our carnal mindedness. And so we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wilt forgive us our worldliness and look upon us in Jesus. Give us more and more to live in the consciousness not only of our dependence upon thee, but of the tremendous privilege thou hast given us to call upon thee for all our needs, knowing that thou hast loved us in Christ Jesus, and therefore art willing and able to work all things together for our good, to the honor and glory of thy name, for Jesus' sake. Amen.